You are listening to the Retirement Wisdom Podcast, focusing on the changing nature of retirement today and the non-financial aspects of a successful retirement transition. Join host Joe Casey and learn from leading experts in the field and the stories of people who created interesting second acts as they share practical ideas and tips to create your own. Check out our website at retirementwisdom.com, where you can download our newsletter and other resources to learn more about how coaching can help you. The best way to support this podcast is to head over to Apple Podcasts and post a rating and a comment. It's easy and it's free. Join our conversations and get wiser about your retirement.
Welcome to today's Retirement Wisdom Podcast. I'm your host, Joe Casey. This time of year, our thoughts naturally turn to gratitude. But in a year like this, it's also helped many of us realize exactly what's most important, what really matters most. And it's easy to wonder, could gratitude help us more in our day-to-day living? Today, we have a guest who's going to teach us exactly how to do that. Christy Nelson is the executive director of a network for Grateful Living. It's an organization you can learn more about at gratefulness.org. She's also the author of a new book, Wake Up Grateful, The Transformative Practice of Taking Nothing for Granted. Christy received her bachelor's degree from my alma mater, the University of Massachusetts at Amherst. She also has a graduate certificate in business and sociology from Boston College and her master's in public administration with a concentration in leadership studies from Harvard. Christy is a stage 4 cancer survivor who feels blessed to work with her beloved colleagues in sharing the gifts of gratefulness with people around the world. She lives in Western Massachusetts with her family and gives thanks every day to be surrounded by the glories of the natural world in a vibrant, loving community. Christy, thanks so much for joining us today.
You are so welcome, Joe. I'm honored and delighted to have been invited to join you.
And I think the logical place to start is, I wonder if you could please tell us about a network for grateful living.
Well, we're about 20 years old right now, and we're a network because we're global. And for grateful living really means these are people who are committed to living gratefully. And the organization was founded by a Benedictine monk named Brother David Steindl Rast, with whom a lot of people are familiar. He's an incredible interfaith leader. He's now 94 years old. He is living in Austria in a small monastery. And he really identified gratefulness as the core component to a lot of things: personal happiness, contentment, joy, as well as conflict resolution, so peace, and spiritual life in terms of prayer. So what he really said was that gratefulness is at the heart of prayer, all prayer, and it unites all religions, and that it's the centerpiece of living a gratified life. So I can tell you a little bit more about the organization, meaning we are a virtual organization. We have a staff of 7, mostly not full-time people, but we love what we do, and we have served a website and a website community for many, many years. And we also now do more conferences and events and workshops and in-person kinds of gatherings, including having community groups around the world. We have about 60 to 70 right now groups where people practice grateful living together, and we guide those. And we just love being of service to people who want to figure out how to live their lives more gratefully.
What's it been like during the pandemic?
For us as an organization, it's really familiar because we're virtual. So a lot of organizations had to reconnoiter themselves in order to attend to the limitations of these moments. And we're used to functioning this way. And that's a good thing, because in March, our numbers went up probably 50 to 60% in terms of the people who are looking to us for inspiration. And to me, that makes tons of sense. And we can talk more about that. But it's an extraordinary privilege to be able to work at home and to have the functioning that we have and to be so at the ready to work with people and with each other. So we haven't missed a beat, and our work has grown during the pandemic, and that I think people are really looking for causes for gratitude and to take nothing for granted, what we have, knowing that we can't count on things in the same way we used to be able to. So we're finding ourselves in relatively significant demand, and I think for good reason.
So you mentioned gratitude. What are some of the key benefits of gratitude?
Well, gratitude's been researched a lot more lately. In the past 10 to 15 years, Bob Emmons, who's a scientific researcher in the Greater Good Science Center and the Templeton Foundation, have come together to research but the benefits of gratitude on a whole host of levels. So there's physiological benefits, including more robust immune response, heart health, stress reduction for sure. And then there are relational benefits in terms of kind of ease in relationships, generosity. You know, gratitude makes us more generous with other people. And then there are what I would call kind of psychological benefits, which would speak to things like resilience, greater resilience in the face of hardship, which is really what I think is hugely pertinent right now. Deeper levels of a sense of well-being, the capacity to navigate difficulty with greater ease. So those are some of the things, and they're very widespread, and yet gratitude is not so easy to come by all the time. So that's why we do what we do, is because we talk about how can we really live more gratefully, not just have gratitude as a momentary experience that then evaporates and we wait for something to make us feel grateful again, you know, which doesn't happen all the time as much as we'd like it to.
So it really puts us more in control of the timing of those things, more proactive.
You know, you're right. And it also recognizes that our ability to experience gratitude more regularly, more consistently, it's an inside job. It's something that we can learn to practice and bring to our lives as an orientation rather than waiting for something external to happen. So yes, exactly, you're right.
I notice in some of your writings that you make a distinction between gratitude and gratefulness. How are they different?
Well, it's something that I've been really committed to understanding more. And I think I've done some pretty deep dives into the exploration, because we love feeling gratitude. It's a fantastic feeling. And we love inciting gratitude in other people, helping other people feel grateful. And yet gratitude tends to be conditional. It's fleeting. It's transactional often. We wait for somebody to do something for us or for something to happen, as we said, from the outside. It's something that is ephemeral and difficult for us to put our hands around. How do I get more gratitude-inducing experiences? And it ends up being a little bit like the pursuit of happiness, I think, in that it's elusive and it feels out there. Gratefulness, as I was saying before, is something that we can cultivate as a practice, very similar to mindfulness. And it's a beautiful way to weave together more moments of gratitude and to learn how to find those experiences of gratitude and to uplift them and to deepen ourselves into them more often. So it's not about being grateful for everything, but gratefulness is the ability to be grateful in every moment. And that's something that we can learn. Does that make sense to you as a distinction?
Absolutely. We're only 7 minutes into this and you've made me much smarter already. But
oh my gosh. Well, let's keep going. This is fun.
But it's actually like a very important distinction that I came across and jumped out at me when I read more about your writings. And I think it's very helpful. It's very helpful to make it more practical and accessible.
Yeah. Thank you.
Especially your point about the consistency, the being in control of it and being more consistent. And it's all really around us.
Yeah. And I think as we get older and as we learn more and more about life, we learn what we can and can't control. And at this point in life, for myself and for you, because we're peers age-wise, I think if we haven't figured that part out, we suffer a lot because we don't get to control a lot of our outside circumstances. And yet we can experience that sense of being grateful if we can figure out how to pull it up, how to focus our attention, how to activate that sense of being privileged, of lucky, of being lucky, of having good fortune. And that's often about shifting our perspective. There's so many ways to be in charge of that. And especially when the circumstances outside of us are so deeply difficult. And yet we also know, and this is challenging because one of the things we talk about is life is unpredictable and we don't know what's promised to us. And when we're older, we are really acutely aware of that, much more so than young people. And that's wisdom. There's wisdom in that. And yet what we also know is that people tend to feel much more grateful. A lot of people do when they know that they're going to die, when they suddenly what's important and what matters clarifies itself and crystallizes. I'm always interested in how can we cultivate that sense of what matters and what's really important, what's most acute in the moments when we're fully alive and not wait for those times when we're about to lose something or we've lost something that we care about in order to feel grateful.
Wow, that makes so much sense. How has gratefulness played a role in your life?
Okay. Well, this is a good segue. So thank you for that question. When I was 33 years old, I became really ill and it took many, many months for me to be diagnosed. So that was a part of the journey for me was it was about 9 months from the first fever that I had to when I was ultimately conclusively diagnosed. And I think a lot of people resonate with that experience, Joe, because we have a sense of there's illness and then diagnosis and prognosis. And it's never so easy. It just doesn't unfold like that. There's tons of people probably listening today who have chronic illnesses, who have acute illnesses that are undiagnosed, who get misdiagnosed. All of that is so par for the course in life. And so in those 9 months, I had to really live with a huge amount of uncertainty and with the prospect of being ill, and I was getting more and more ill. And they couldn't figure out what was wrong with me. And by the time I was diagnosed with stage 4, atypical Hodgkin's lymphoma. And so that meant that it had metastasized to my spine. So by that time, I was bedridden. I was in a wheelchair. I couldn't walk. I was in an incredible amount of pain. And so that was a really deep, immersive experience for me in what I couldn't and couldn't control. And at 33, that's unusual. You know, as I was saying, hopefully by the time that we're older, we have a lot of wisdom to bring to that question of what we do and don't get to control. And at 33, everybody's got their eyes set on the horizon of their future and their retirement plan and their home and their family and their long-term trajectory, which everybody gets to imagine for themselves. But at 33, to have stage 4 cancer, it took that away from me. And so I really got an immersive education in gratefulness and what it meant for me to take nothing for granted. I could take nothing for granted. And that was the source of joy for me. And so that's been my adult lifelong learning practice, is really more deeply understanding how that attention to the moment and how that awareness of what really, really matters that arises so often in the prospect of losing our lives and in the prospect of sometimes we get forewarned about things, you know, and we're really lucky when those experiences happen. And then we carpe diem, we seize the moment, we want to live our lives really fully in what matters to us. But how can we do that without having to almost lose or lose what matters to us? So that's what's important to me, and teaching that to other people and practicing it myself, which means continually remembering and coming back to being grateful for life, the gift of life, being grateful for what matters and knowing what matters to me, and keeping a sense of perspective and possibility. And living gratefully is a powerful pathway to that for me. And it was very much awakened in my early life, which is now over 27 years ago, by this experience of facing stage 4 cancer and the prospect of my own death.
Thank you so much for sharing your personal story there.
Thank you. It's a good question always how we get awakened to these things, I think, that matter most to us.
Absolutely. Well, the year 2020 has certainly been quite a year so far. And
that's an understatement.
Yeah, right. Absolutely. So why, in your opinion, is gratefulness especially important right now?
I think the context of living through a pandemic, a lot of what we care about, we have lost. A lot of us have to reinvent new ways of being and new rituals and appreciate better what is available to us. And so I think in terms of the pandemic and looking around and realizing what a privilege it is to be able to even breathe, not to take anything for granted, the most basic things that are ours, to enjoy them now because nothing is promised us. So I think it really helps to keep returning to what is possible. What can I do right now? What am I not cut off from? To keep remembering, to enlarge our perspective, to find what there is to be grateful for in the midst of a lot of loss and a lot of challenge. And then the bigger thing is also how to experience from that a sense of generosity of spirit, still not to contract, a sense of kindness, a sense of concern for others, a care for civic participation, to say, to participate in our democracy this year, to become active in social issues, which really matter to us. Staying grateful activates us to go beyond the limitations of our circumstances and helps us connect much more deeply and broadly to what matters in the larger world.
If you think back to your own experiences and the experiences of people you're working with since March, what have you learned this year?
That's a good question, and I want to be thoughtful about it. The first thing that comes to mind is that if we truly take nothing for granted, I mean, I wrote this book, you know, and we'll talk about that later, called Wake Up Grateful, The Transformative Practice of Taking Nothing for Granted. And it's really come home to roost. I finished that book in March and was able to address in the epilogue just the briefest mention of the pandemic setting in for so many of us in this world. And so I think there's so many things. The first thought that I had when you asked me that question was about how powerful it is to just be grateful for our breath, and that the breath can be a route to the deepest terrain of taking nothing for granted if we realize that our breath is such a gift, and it's what connects us to life, and it connects us to all other human beings and to all the plants and trees in the world. And we can kind of experience, no matter where we are, no matter what the conditions of our lives, as long as we're able to breathe, we are lucky. And nothing has come home to me more than that in this year of people not being able to breathe for a variety of reasons, right? So this has been a really tough year. The other thing is that I think it's taught us what's essential and helped us come home to that question of, you know, we have essential workers, we have essential aspects of our lives. How do we value and really live into what is essential for us? Because we don't take the next moment for granted. We say, this is the moment that's mine. This is the day that's mine. This is the life I'm living. How do I live gratefully into what is most important to me right here, right now, and not count on anything else? Because that's the way we live a regret-free life. That's really the way to live without regrets and not put anything off. And so I think that's really come home to roost as what's essential. And I think the lessons are continuing to unfold. And as the pandemic worsens, I think we're going to keep learning a lot over these next months. And I'm committed to staying grateful for what there is for me to be grateful for in every single moment that I can through this time of a lot of loss and change and hardship.
Indeed. You mentioned before that one of the benefits of gratefulness and gratitude ties to our relationships. How can gratefulness help our relationships?
Well, I think it's one of the, I think that it's one of the biggest keys to having healthy relationships. And I will say that it's not just feeling grateful, it's being grateful as an active, it's an active verb. It's like love. You can feel a lot of love, you can feel a lot of gratitude, but until you express it, it doesn't necessarily transform your relationships. And so the invitation is live it out loud. Don't take the people in your life for granted. One of the things I say is that when we take things for granted, they become lifeless. They become literally kind of dead to us. We get into a trance. We sleepwalk. We walk past people who are miracles in our lives, and we don't appreciate them. And we take a drive that we've taken often in our lives, and we don't appreciate it because we're asleep to it. And yet somebody who takes that same drive and goes by these trees and on this road might say, wow, this is extraordinary, or gets in a car and says, this is amazing to be able to even drive in a car. But I think that the people who become invisible to us in some way, what we have to do is really awaken and then actively express all of the appreciation that we feel. And one of the things that I've really experimented with is it possible to really be too grateful for the people that we appreciate and whose presence in our lives matters deeply to us? And I kind of have not found the threshold. I'll just tell you the there's a huge amount of capacity for us to experience appreciation. And there's a huge capacity for people to receive it. It basically is going into a pretty empty well most of the time. We tend to be pretty dried up in terms of feeling like our presence in the world and our life, every moment matters. So I would say be unabashed in your expressions of appreciation for people, and your relationships will thrive. And try it as an experiment. We're coming up on Thanksgiving. This is a great time to let the people who you're around all the time know how much you appreciate them, but also reach out to people who you haven't been in contact with for a long time and watch how just infusing a little bit of your grateful care for the people in your life who you don't connect with often, the smallest dose can awaken the most magnificent response and really transform your relationship. So I just say, experiment, and you'll find out too that there's really not a threshold for how much we can appreciate the people in our lives.
Such a great point. And it's one of those complaints you rarely hear. Stop, too much. That's too much appreciation. Dial it down.
Please. Could you just hold back a little bit more? And I think a lot of us really are hungry. And so sometimes it's hard to ask for appreciation. But I think it's also important to do that. It's like, I want to know that my existence matters, that it matters that I'm still here today. Because if we can't take tomorrow or anything for granted, we have to let each other know that it matters that we show up, that we're here.
So you mentioned Thanksgiving before, and gratitude becomes top of mind for many this time of year here in the U.S., but it can quickly fade. And how can people make it a year-round practice as you're describing?
I think about that a lot, actually, that we have this one holiday that's dedicated to gratitude. And it's this one day where we sit down and we relish and savor and, you know, say grace for the food that we get to eat. And we take time before a meal, usually to hold hands with the people we love, to express appreciation out loud. There's lots of Thanksgiving blessings that get uttered. And then where does that all go? So many of the other 364 days of the year, that sense of what a joy and an extraordinary blessing it is to be able to have food to eat, good food to eat, to be able to be nourished, to have food that people have lovingly harvested and farmed and delivered to our stores and our tables. And there's no end to the appreciation we can offer, but we lose sight of it so much of the time. And that's what I would suggest is the most powerful practice, is uplift the things that are ordinary as extraordinary. And that's the opposite of taking something for granted, is to say, isn't it amazing to not just have this beautiful food, but to have dishes on which to serve it, to have a table around which to gather, to, even if it's the smallest number of people that you've ever gathered with, even if you do it on Zoom, how extraordinary is it to have technology? So I think uplifting the ordinary as extraordinary is really the pathway to taking nothing for granted, because you start to see everything as pretty miraculous and pretty amazing.
Well said. I'm looking forward to reading your book. It's coming up very soon. And I wonder if you could tell us a little bit about your book, Wake Up Grateful, The Transformative Practice of Taking Nothing for Granted.
I did just finish this book. It was so hard to write. I was running a network for grateful living and writing the book at the same time. So it was an extraordinary experience, really. And I feel so lucky to have been able to write a book. And I felt moved to write the book because I wanted to be able to answer some of these questions, Joe, I think that a lot of people have, which is, how do we make this a lived moment-to-moment experience? How do we stay grateful? And to demystify that a little bit and also offer guidance, really concrete practices and questions. And so the book is actually a guidebook in many ways. It's got my personal cancer story in it because that brings it home and adds credibility to a lot of these ideas. And yet it's also got a lot of very philosophical and practical wisdom in it. And I hope it's a really meaningful book that people can keep by their bedside and open to any page and find something that awakens that experience of being grateful and that impulse to express that gratitude in their lives in some way. That would be my dream. And I think it is that kind of book. I think it's the kind of book that you can savor over and over again. It's not a page one to page 240 straight through read and then you stick it on the shelf. I think it's something that you can refer to over and over again and continue to find deeper levels of meaning in it.
So for people like me who are waiting for the book, what's one thing people can do to start to bring more gratefulness into their lives?
Well, one of the first exercises that I have in the book, and it's what we call a practice. And everything is a practice, but we can have very intentional practices. And one of them is called obligation to opportunity. And it's a grateful living practice. It's about a reframe. It's about a perspective shift. Mm-hmm. And so here's the invitation is, whenever you think of something you have to do, or you can do it right now as a little writing practice or a reflection practice, think of three or four or more things that you have to do today before you go to bed tonight. So the to-do list, the chores, the taking care of people, our responsibilities, basically. And so a great exercise is to experiment with writing down a list of a bunch of things you have to do. And I do this all the time. And then cross out, I have to, because literally you want to write, I have to go shopping. I have to run an errand. I have to take someone somewhere. I have to finish an assignment or go to a meeting. And so you write out, I have to, and then you cross out, I have to, and you write, I get to. And in that experience of saying, I get to, it awakens this totally different relationship to the privilege, actually, of what we get to do in our lives. Because a lot of people can't do those things. And someday we won't be able to do those things. And so not taking those opportunities for granted is a total reframe. And you start to realize, instead of begrudging the things that you have to do in your life, you can befriend them and do them with joy and feel grateful for the opportunity to do those things. And it brings so much more happiness to your life. It changes everything. And also a nice little homework piece about that too is, notice how much other people say, I have to, I have to, I have to, as if their privileges are burdens. And it's a good little shift. And there's lots of ways that you can have those reframes using practices to stay more grateful more often.
Thank you so much for that. And I can endorse that. That is such a game changer.
Yeah,
it really is. Back to what you're saying about orientation.
Yeah.
It really does change how you look at something. And these are things we get to do every day.
Every moment of every day, actually. It's so, so much that we get to experience. And I'm so glad to be here with you today. It's meant the world to me. So thank you.
I'm very grateful. And I know our listeners are, for you sharing all of your wisdom and these insights at such an important time for everyone. Chrissy, thank you so much and look forward to the book and best wishes for future success.
Thank you. Let's stay in touch.
Will do. I really appreciate Chrissy Nelson taking the time to talk with us today about such an important topic, gratefulness. And one of the things that struck me early in the conversation was her distinction between gratitude and gratefulness. It was one that I hadn't considered. And by the way, there's a very long list of such things. But I found it useful, her points about the fact that gratitude is something that's fleeting, where gratefulness is something we can cultivate and has longer lasting impacts, and it can be something that we can practice on a day-to-day basis. She also talked about gratefulness as being an orientation, how we show up, how we look at things. And that led to also her point about gratefulness is really an action. It's a verb, something you can do. And I thought that was a helpful way to think about this. And then finally, I would just recommend that people listening try her exercise that she mentioned at the end. Is something you're about to do something you have to do? Or is it something you get to do? It changes how you look at it. Definitely, she says, reframes things. And I can vouch for that. It's an exercise I picked up 10 years ago and try to remember it as much as possible. And glad to have it top of mind once again, because it really does change how you view something and it changes how people around you may view things as well. So I encourage everyone to experiment with that and see what it does for you. How's it change how you're showing up? And how's it change how you're interacting with the people around you? One final point, I think that she really highlighted that this is really about focusing on what really matters most. And that's a good time of year to step back and think about that, but also use her approaches to make it part of how you live day in and day out. Thank you very much for listening to today's Retirement Wisdom Podcast.
Thank you for joining us today on the Retirement Wisdom Podcast. You can listen to all episodes of our podcast by subscribing to them on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, and Stitcher, or on our website at retirementwisdom.com.